Well, in these weeks, we are focusing on God working a real work in our hearts, seeing a real breakthrough, and we're looking at so many encouraging truths, but one very necessary truth is what we're going to be looking at on Sunday evenings, and that is the fact that there is a world system around us that is designed by Satan to undermine the working of God in our hearts and lives. And so we've got to be very, very discerning when it comes to Satan's cultural traps. The Bible calls Satan the God, the little g, God of this world. You see, God created man with a spirit to live eternally, to fellowship with him. But because we are made in God's image, we have a choice. We fell, and man became estranged from God. Man is not like, as I mentioned last week, the animal kingdom that has built an instinct to be able to function in the environment in which God has created them. Mankind is very helpless when it comes to being able to operate, develop themselves, and so forth. That's by design, because God made us to need him and to have that relationship with him. And so every person needs divinity, or something at least supernatural. And so since man was cut off from God, Satan came in as a false god. He came in, and because he has to us supernatural power, he looks like he can meet our needs, that desperate need that mankind has. He's the prince of the power of the air. And so what he has done is designed culture, in each culture throughout history, to meet our need and to cause us to have something to worship and to have some kind of guidance and development in our lives. That's why you have gods all around the world. That's why you have people worshiping different philosophies. You have this need. Isn't it amazing how people even worship people all the time? You look back at the history of dictators and you say, how can that be? It's because of that innate need in man to have leadership, to have help, and they look for someone with power. That's why you have idolatry. That's why you have all of these different pulls. And so Satan has designed culture to meet the need of mankind outside of the will of God and to draw mankind away from God. That's what we talked about last week, and it's a very real thing that we need to be aware of. And so culture, different aspects of it certainly are neutral, but the essence of culture is not neutral. And so we have to be biblically based in our thinking and discerning as we walk with God to understand the traps that are there that cause us to make decisions and to make value judgments that are not that which will further the cause of Christ or build and develop our lives according to his will. And there's a lot of things, and we'll certainly be looking at that. Now, it's good to know Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That's good news. According to the will of God and our Father. And so we can understand what's going on. We can think biblically. We can be free of that. We can have a full relationship with God. But we have to make key biblical decisions so that we are free from the influence of Satan in our lives. So that's why we're laying some groundwork in these few messages to help us just wake up to the fact that we have all that we need in Christ, but Satan doesn't want us to believe that. He wants us to think we need more. You remember covetousness, which is idolatry. Other things become that which meets our needs. And all of those things are designed by Satan to distract us. Now, when you look at man's condition when he is overcome by the world system, just some thoughts to help us realize what we're facing. Mankind is overcome by sin and corruption, 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So as believers, we need to understand that Satan's product in the lives of the world is corruption and sin. 2 Peter 2:20, for if they have escaped the pollutions or that which defiles of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they have escaped those things which defile. Satan blinds the world. We often think of that. Men love darkness rather than light. John 12:46, the Lord Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And Satan keeps people from knowing Christ. John 1:10, one of the saddest verses. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Well, that's powerful when you think about it. Jesus walked here on this planet, and yet Satan's culture of Greek culture, Roman culture, Jewish culture had been very effective in keeping people blinded and away from Christ. And so therefore they're ignorant of the truth. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And certainly you see a world that is in bondage to Satan's deceptions. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And so, as we look at all the different aspects of culture, pop culture, and so forth, we've got to understand that so much of that is designed to cause us to sin, cause us to be blind, not to know Jesus like we should. I'm talking about Christians. If that happens to the lost world, to some degree, Christians who are living in the flesh and not walking with God, those kinds of things are going to occur to them. Now, one of the reasons that we get a little, not more than a little, but majorly intimidated by the world system is because of the opposition of the world to Christ and therefore to his people. And the Bible warns us about that. The Lord Jesus was very upfront when he warned about the identification, that identification with him will cause opposition. John 7:7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. John 15:18, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before that it hated you. Now, the world doesn't realize what Satan is doing to them. An agnostic once said to a believer, I don't believe in the devil. I've never met him. Well, the believer wisely replied, you're right, you have never met him. You don't meet anyone when you're going on the same road the same way. And that's really true. But believers meet Satan because we start going the opposite direction. And so Christ taught the disciples that they would be viewed by the world as alien and threatening. John 15:19. This is right in the middle of his teaching before his crucifixion. He said, if ye were of the world would love his own. But beloved, because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now that, you know, we don't like to be hated, do we? You know, that bothers us. We like to be liked. We like pleasant things. And so Satan not only deceives, but he intimidates. John 17:14, in the great high priestly prayer, as he was on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. By the way, if Jesus wasn't of the world, we don't want to be either. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, and I think the evil one. They are not of the world, note that, even as I am not of this world. I've been doing some study recently for some speaking that I've been doing, and I've been amazed at some of the wrong thinking of evangelicals trying to talk about the world being that which can be good and a blessing, and that we need to actually become assimilated into the world to reach the world. And they totally forget the Lord says we are not of this world. And of course, we know there is a spiritual warfare. We talk often about that. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So let me just, I'm moving quickly here tonight because of all that we've experienced. It's been a great blessing. But I want to talk for a moment here about how can we have then victory over the world. Now, this is important. First of all, we have to agree with God about the world. I just mentioned that some quote-unquote Christian thinking from a wrong theological perspective has the world progressively getting better and that there's all these good things even in what we would normally consider really the most dangerous parts of pop culture. And so we will never have victory over the world until we agree with what God says about the world. We need to heed what the Lord says in the warnings. He teaches us that Satan is a destroyer. He's not our friend. Anything he has his hands on, we don't want to be around, and we certainly don't want to be in cahoots with it because he is the enemy of our Savior. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Speaking of the Jewish leaders that were not saved, they are part of the world system. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we need to agree with God that the world system is his design to ruin us. Once you understand that, it changes everything. I'm telling you, you begin to look to the Lord for victory. The closer you are to the Lord, the less you have an affinity with the world. And we need to agree with God that Satan's world is so dangerous it can overcome our faith and our practice. Wasn't that told to the Israelites over and over? Do not participate in the world system there in Canaan, the cursed people of Canaan. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, Deuteronomy 20, 17 and 18, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. And so the Lord was very clear that if you allow yourselves to all get assimilated into the worldly culture, you will find yourselves ending up having your faith undermined. That's what we're calling the cultural traps that will undermine our faith. 2 Peter 1:4, I already quoted that, and the corruption that is in the world, we have great and precious promises that we need to believe. So therefore, we need to fully obey the biblical commands about the world. You've got to agree with God about the world. And I'm telling you, this is a problem for many believers. And then we have to obey what the Bible says about it. The Lord revealed in his law, as he gave to Israel, he revealed how to overcome Satan's destructive practices. And they were to do that. Leviticus 18, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwell, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Folks, when it comes to our practices, when it comes to our affinities, when it comes to what we love, when it comes to what we're involved in, we start with who God is and what he says and work our way into discernment when it comes to our culture. But because we are in such need and culture has such a big part of meeting our need outside of God, it's very easy for us to look at what we should do first from looking at culture and then somehow try to fit it into our relationship with the Lord. Christians do that all the time. So the Bible says you're not to do anything that are part of that system. Now, the New Testament mandate really gets clear. 1 John 2, verse 15. Here you have one of the last books written in the New Testament. And here's the Apostle John, who was the disciple that Jesus loved. Here is this one that had that close relationship, and he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world," note the next phrase, "the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now folks, you cannot love the Father and love the world at the same time. No man can serve two masters. Which God is controlling us? Which force are we following? And so it's not something we can just sort of muddle with, folks. The Bible categorically says, love not the world. Now we're talking these weeks about having a breakthrough in knowing God, having strongholds come down. Well, if that's going to happen, we've got to agree with God about the fact that those strongholds went up because somebody else was telling us what is really right. So we've got to now disagree with that. We've got to identify that Satan's priorities, Satan's thought process, Satan's perspective on man has been wrong, and we've got to start from that biblical perspective, and then God will tear down those strongholds. So to put it very simply, we need to avoid any compromise with the world system that Satan has put together. James 4:4 is about as strong as you can get. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world," and this is, causes me to shudder, the last phrase, "is the enemy of God." They're polar opposites. And yet, we find believers all the time endeavoring to get as close to the world and be able to do as much of the world system as possible without denying their faith. They've lost their power. They have wrong thought patterns. They are not believing God in key areas, and their love for the Lord is not real. It's become artificial, and Satan has got them right where he wants them. And today we see it on every hand, and we see it right in the very thought process of our whole even church philosophy. You see, American Christians really struggle with the idea of being out of step with the culture. They forget that Satan is behind the establishment of the culture. The whole world system is designed to destroy their relationship with God. Culture is not neutral. It is something that we have to deal with. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. We are not to love the world. So, simply put, worldly living strikes at the very heart of your walk with God. It will take away spirit-filled living. It will make the Word of God become very powerless to you because you have made decisions to do things that your spirit and your conscience tell you are not right. And you will be depending upon the enjoyments and the purposes that are Satan's substitutes for a relationship with God, and so everything becomes dull. Love not the world. What does that mean then? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at the subtle things that cause us to meet our needs outside of God. You see, strongholds are the lies that this will have more meaning than a pure relationship with God. Enjoying this habit regularly will meet your needs, and of course it destroys you. Having these successes will meet your needs, but not so. Having this kind of a life and doing these kinds of things will be what really bring meaning and excitement in life, but it's a lie. And often Christians finally wake up to it, but after they've lost decades of the opportunity to really serve God. Today, the world is being pumped into our homes and into our minds. We carry the world in our pocket with our smartphone. On our computers, in which we legitimately have to do a lot of work, the world has access to us if we allow it. We are not able many times to control the environments that we are in. But so was it with the early church. They didn't have smartphones, but they had a very intrusive world. But I can tell you, in those first centuries, you read the early church fathers and their preaching, and I'm telling you, they understood it. Stronger preaching than you've heard in this century, for sure. And the reason that revival blessing went on year after year and decade after decade was that this was first, and their love for Jesus and their fulfillment of the Great Commission was far more important than fitting into a world. And they understood that if they stood for Christ, there would be opposition. Friends, I'm telling you, around the world right now, precious, precious brothers and sisters are having terrible opposition for their faith. It's been said over and over, and we've said it, far more persecution and martyrdoms going on now than in the history of the world. And yet, in those places, you see the power of God. Because there, the world is delineated and clearly seen as opposing genuine Christianity. But here, the lines are fuzzy, and Christians are depending upon the things of the world to do for them what God intends to do for them. That's really the issue. So I trust in these weeks ahead that as we look at some very specific things, and we're going to touch on this subject one more time, that we will understand that this is important for us to be discerning, because we'll never have breakthroughs until Satan's gods are put down. And until we get a clear discernment on that which is normal, which is neutral culture, and that which is satanic blindness and deceitfulness. And may God help us. And we need to be willing to let God lead us in these areas. Let's bow for prayer. I did more teaching than preaching tonight, but you know, God can use a message like this. And tonight you'd say, Pastor, I just need to see that I'm not depending upon God like I should. I'm depending on just normal life. You know, it's so easy. The normal course of life, Satan is so subtle in our materialistic society with all the things and gadgets that we have and the opportunities to succeed, to take our mind and heart off of really serving God. And as a believer, you might be here tonight and say, you know, I love the Lord, and I certainly don't want the world to overcome me, but I am burdened that I would be more discerning and that my heart would not have any dependency other than on my Savior. And I realize that there's going to be some things I've got to deal with. Some priorities, some ways I live, things I watch, goals that I have. And I've really got to let the Spirit of God expose how these are traps in my life. And I'm willing And I would like to ask you to pray that I truly will love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I'm burdened that I will not allow my heart to be deceived. If God's worked in your heart that way, would you just slip your hand up if you're burdened here tonight? I do not want to love the world. God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. There may be someone here. The number one thing that Satan does is blind us when it comes to salvation. You see, he tells us we need to depend upon ourselves or depend upon religion or depend upon some humanistic philosophy. God made us for him. He died on the cross. Jesus came so that we could have everlasting life. Salvation is in him, not in us, and it certainly isn't in Satan's deceptions. And you may be here tonight and you say, Pastor, if I were to die, I don't know what would happen. I really don't. I'd like to think I'd be okay, but I've been burdened about that. I'm going to be honest, like all these other people that raise their hand, and I'd like to ask you to pray for me. I won't point you out, but I'd like to pray for you. But you're burdened about your eternal destiny. Anyone like that, that you want to be able to think right and know what the truth is, and you're just asking God to help you by raising the hand tonight. Anyone at all like that here this evening? God bless you. Amen. All right. God bless you. Amen. Now, Lord, would you work in each of these hearts and lives? Thank you for these that raise their hand about not wanting to be entrapped by wrong thinking. And, Lord, oh, help us to be really honest with ourselves. Give us victory. Pray for these that are burdened about their soul. And, Lord, I pray that they'll understand that tonight they can look to you, the one who has died on the cross and who has won the victory. Lord, make that clear. And Lord, would you honor their desire to know. So Lord, we cry out to you to work even in this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.